A Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Yasmin Yonkers, and Ryan Hwan. Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Let's talk property.
Property.
Yes.
It's hot topic.
Hot topic here in Singapore.
Big topic.
Whether you are investing here or some people, they invest property overseas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And besides investing in properties in more well-known places like Australia, which we hear is coming down prices, or our neighboring countries like Malaysia, this next company has focused on Myanmar, formerly Burma.
Ah, very interesting. Well, Yilma Strategic Holdings is a Singapore-listed property developer in Myanmar, which aims to build a better Myanmar for the people. Besides property, they also have business interests in other sectors in the country, you know, things like real estate development, agriculture, vehicle distribution, food and beverage, retail, and the list goes on.
But recently, they've also delved into the world of finance and fintech, and they're one of the major stakeholders of Wave Money, which is one of Myanmar's biggest non-banking financial services player.
Wave Money is the first company to receive a license under the new regulation released by the Central Bank of Myanmar. And their app allows you to transfer money through your phone or agents within Myanmar.
Over the last 2 years, its launch, Wave Money's revenue has grown significantly. We're looking at more than 600%.
So we've got both Melvin Poon, CEO of Yilma Strategic Holdings, as well as Brad Jones, CEO of Wave Money. They're in the studio to tell us more about how the state of property and fintech industry is like in Myanmar, similar trends between Singapore and Myanmar. Good morning, Melvin.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brad.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming by bright and early this morning. Melvin, Yilma Strategic Holdings, Singapore-listed company, you invest and develop property in Myanmar. Why Myanmar would be my first question.
So Myanmar, not many people would know about us, but really, if you look back 40, 50 years ago, Myanmar used to be one of the wealthiest countries in the region. Mm. We've had 50 years of pretty dark times, but 5, 6 years ago, we had an opening. So it's one of those countries that has a very bright future in front of us. And I think for the next couple of generations, we can see very steady, high growth ahead.
Tell us about some of the opportunities that are available for investors, developers.
So I remember going back to the country 7 years ago, and you look around, there's basically no services around. We used to have 3% mobile penetration, and banks were not really relevant. Mm-hmm. Most people borrow money not from banks. Banks were basically bypassed. Fast forward to today, we have 105% mobile penetration, so that growth is tremendous. So whether it's fintech or other technology, that's, you know, is all leapfrogging. In other services, whether it's real estate or retail, or consumer businesses, everything is growing very, very fast. It's one of the fastest growing countries in the region, even though people think it's slowing down. It's still growing at 6-odd%.
Let's talk right now about the property industry in Myanmar. You mentioned, of course, you know, the earlier years where it was really one of, you know, the key players in Asia in the earlier years. And I think even Myanmar's leader state councillor who's in town also did, you know, invite ASEAN to, you know, participate more as Myanmar opens up, as their departments are also going to be, you know, lending more assistance to businesses interested in investing in Myanmar. But property industry right now, tell us how it's developed over the last, say, 5 years.
So for the last 10, 15 years, we've had very little new supply that comes out. So maybe in the last 3 years, we're starting to get more, but it's still very, very limited supply. If you look at the population in Yangon, which is the commercial capital, we have a 6 million population. In the next 12 years, by 2030, ADB projected that we'll have 10 million population. You know, real estate is quite simple. It's all about supply demand. When you have a lot of people coming into the city, you need to provide housing for them. The question is how. You know, if you don't provide proper housing when there are jobs created, it's becoming a social problem. So we're looking at how we can provide mass housing to the mass market. And this will go from the bottom of the rank, so maybe, you know, $10,000 to $30,000 a unit, all the way up to houses that are going for $2 million now. There's a pretty wide spread of wealth in the country. So from a supply-demand perspective, I know there's going to be a market. It's about providing prices that make sense for them.
We're speaking with Melvin Poon, CEO of Yilma Strategic Holdings, and Brad Jones, CEO of Wave Money, whom we'll get to in just a while. We are talking property and fintech in Myanmar. We're trying to establish some of the property scene in Myanmar. Actually, Melvin, if you could add just a little more similarities, perhaps, between the property market in Singapore and Myanmar. Why should a Singaporean go there?
Well, I'm not sure about Singapore. We're probably 40 years behind Singapore. But if you look at regional countries, you know, okay. Bangkok, we're probably 25, 30 years behind Bangkok, maybe 15 years behind Vietnam. If you look at how those countries have developed, you know, it won't go in exactly the same way. But in a way, I feel like there's a playbook that we'll go through. We're going to go through the same type of explosive growth. We will have some up and downs, but we're going to have a city develop in a more responsible way. So city clusters would form with commercial centers. You're seeing more and more FDI flowing in, so more international companies are coming in. When you look around the city, most companies have offices in kind of informal houses. They are moving towards buildings that would be, you know, would serve their purpose. So you can see this gradual migration into from an informal real estate sector into a more formal sector.
And when you say behind, I know it's a negative word, but you mean behind in terms of development, right?
Yes.
And in this sense, that's a positive.
That's right. I look at Bangkok 30 years ago. It's actually, it would be more advanced than where Myanmar is today.
Okay.
So in a way, I can see that it's just going to grow exponentially.
And it's interesting when you ask what is the difference and you know, a difference and similarities between Singapore and Myanmar. I was thinking Singapore has no supply anymore.
That and is I think true.
That'll be, you know, totally the opposite, I suppose, for Myanmar, especially Yangon.
So Singapore has a very good housing policy that's been put in place for the last, you know, few decades, yeah, that allows first-time owners to buy, and, you know, students coming out would not worry too much about where they live. In Myanmar, a lot of people still live in huts and, you know, informal locations. Yeah. So moving them to apartments that are, you know, decent, it doesn't need to be very luxurious. You know, that's just very straightforward.
Talking about that, let's talk about the legal framework of land laws in Myanmar. I suppose that would also, you know, pretty much differ from what we have here in Singapore concerning land and laws.
Yes, in fact, it is not well known, but it's not well communicated, but the government has made huge progress in terms of the law reforms. So in the last few years, we've had a reform of the Company Act, which allows companies to be owned by foreigners, which doesn't reclassify them. It also allows a number of other things. For example, the condominium law has been passed. It hasn't been fully enacted yet, but it will allow foreigners to buy properties for the first time. So that is a major game changer, which is going to come into play. But perhaps more importantly, we have a new investment law. Mm-hmm. The investment law guarantees that investors will have certain rights. So, for example, tax exemptions, etc. But it also simplifies how people can apply for companies to be formed. So there's a lot of new things that have happened. I remember 5-6 years ago when we first started opening up, it's actually quite hard to start a new business. You know, it would take 6 months, maybe a year, to actually start anything. Nowadays, you know, everything gets started within 2 to 4 weeks. Bureaucracy has been really cut down.
Now, let's get on to you, Brad. You are the CEO of Wave Money. What is Wave Money? Tell us more.
So Wave Money is a financial institution. We actually base our product around the mobile phones. So we've established a network through the country of 36,000 agents. These agents are really mum and pop shops, very basic retail throughout the country. And what it allows our customers to do is really to move money from one part of the country to another part of the country.
Okay.
That sounds like a very simple thing when you're sitting in Singapore and you've got great banking infrastructure and ATMs and POS machines everywhere. But in a country like Myanmar, which only has about maybe 10 to 15% banking penetration, it's extremely hard to move money from one part of the country to another. So we've really solved a customer problem that was needed there.
Okay. You were established 2 years ago, quite recent. How have things changed in the past 2 years?
Look, I would say I've been in Myanmar for 4 years now. I've seen incredible change in Myanmar. So first of all, as Melvin said, we've seen telco penetration go from 3% to 105%. That's really only been in the space of 4 years. Similarly, on the fintech side, we've been established for 2 years now. We've seen cumulative growth of our transactions of about 26% month on month. So we're really seeing incredible growth in the market, and we're seeing really incredible take-up. So what we're actually now saying is that we've really changed the way that people are moving money around the country.
Mm-hmm.
People just aren't using the informal sources they were using before. They've really switched to using mobile money.
Now, going back to Melvin, Yoma Strategic Holdings having interest in many sectors besides property. This includes, of course, the fintech sector, one of the major stakeholders of Wave Money as well. What potential do you see in Wave Money?
Well, when we look at the financial sector in Myanmar, it's very undeveloped. And in fact, banks are by and large bypassed. So we see Wave Money as a huge potential in, first of all, moving money around, but then eventually it will facilitate the storing of money and then extension of credit. Myanmar has a somewhat of a restrictive banking sector where all lending is fixed at a fixed rate. So that means that whether it's an individual, whether it's the largest corporate in the country, whether it's a mortgage, is all at the same rate. The net effect is that very few of the individuals, the consumer loans, get extended. We think that wage money can play a few roles. One is it makes it easier, more efficient for everyone from microfinance to consumer lending for the money to be sent to these individuals. But equally, eventually, the data would allow us to do much better data scoring and data analysis. So it's hard to really define exactly what it will look like in the future. But I believe with a country that only has 10% of its population with a bank account, we already have the potential with wave money to have a much, much bigger customer segment. So in the whole country, we have around 2,000 bank branches.
Okay.
With wave money, we have 37,000 agents throughout the country. So that's already, almost 20 times the number of bank branches. The country is quite big, yeah? So for anyone in the village, it's actually quite hard to get to a bank branch. With the agents that we have, we actually are just round the corner. So we should have an agent just down the road from every single person in the country that allows that person to be served across many different aspects. The potential is huge, in my view.
Brad, this one's for you. See, of Wave Money, it's fintech, it's tech in Myanmar. Just how tech savvy are they? Not a lot of them have access to the internet, so there must be some challenges there.
What we've seen in Myanmar is actually a real digital leapfrog over the last 4 years. So the other shareholder of Wave Money is Telenor Group, which is the second largest telco in the country. We've seen mobile penetration go to 105%. And the amazing thing in Myanmar is we've seen a huge smartphone penetration in the country. So probably 80 to 90% of the phones that are in the market are actually smartphones. We're actually seeing very heavy data usage in the country as well. So it's really laying down a digital foundation that we're looking at Wave Money to start building on. So we provide apps to customers. We're finding customers are increasingly app savvy and are finding the apps intuitive and able to use them. So we're actually quite bullish about the opportunity for these type of digital products in the country.
Right. So as they are progressing and getting more digitally connected, you might as well throw that in there at the same time. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, look, I mean, Myanmar's gone from zero to 105% very quickly. Sure. So there are definitely some digital literacy challenges. So, for example, people often say Facebook is the internet in Myanmar. So there's about 20 million Facebook users in the country. So, and that's come with its own challenges as well, but it's also connected people to the internet really for the first time. So it's actually quite an interesting experiment, actually watching what's happening in Myanmar from a digital perspective currently. But from the fintech perspective, I think there's definitely very fertile ground to build on.
And as the Burmese would, be more and more comfortable with smartphones and downloading of apps and all, what is Wave Money's value proposition to locals? I mean, given that they're suddenly exposed to so many options, really, with regards to the apps that they could download, the services they could use via their smartphones.
Look, in the same way that we've really leapfrogged feature phones, we're looking to leapfrog financial services. So we're looking to provide really access to a number of different products to customers. So, for example, as the insurance market starts to liberalise in the country, we want to actually help insurance companies distribute micro-insurance to the country. We want to work with our banking partner, Yoma Bank, which is one of the group companies, to actually help distribute lending products through the country. So we really think that there's a very good foundation and that we can really provide products that the average Burmese consumer would never really have been exposed to before.
And not just over the smartphone.
Yeah. Melvin, so you're a strategic holdings major stakeholder for Wave Money. How are you using their services to support all your other businesses? How does it work for you guys?
So when I look at Wave Money, it actually provides an overlay for many of our businesses. So we're looking at extending financing. So that's vehicle leasing, etc. And as I mentioned, the ability to disperse money efficiently, as well as getting the data to do data analytics could be very helpful. We have a KFC franchise. We're the master franchisee for KFC in the country. It allows us to do payments. The next step will be doing things around loyalty programs, etc. So that could be quite interesting. We also have car distribution. In fact, when I say car distribution, a lot of it is actually farmers buying tractors.
Right.
And that growth has been tremendous. Actually, we've had probably 40% year-on-year growth for the last 4 years in terms of the number of tractors that we sell. Farmers are finding that they can buy a tractor have much more efficiency and actually have one more turn of crops, which doubles their income. In order to collect the money, we're looking to see how we can leverage WAVE to collect money. So there's a lot of ways that we can actually make ourselves much more efficient by leveraging on that.
So when you say efficient, with everything that you've described, you're pretty much developing mini towns over there. Yeah. Does it make the development faster for the people?
I think it certainly makes it smarter.
Okay.
A lot of what we're doing is really creating habits. Yeah.
Right.
So when I look at Singapore, a lot of people are fighting over the fintech payment space, but that's fighting against the habit of using cash or using credit card. In Myanmar, when you use cash, you can do that, but you have to bring a whole bag of them. You know, the denomination is quite small. And then there's no one takes credit cards. So the choice is either you bring a big bag of cash or you don't use card, so there's no other way. Now, Wave Money provides a new way to make payments.
And it's all from the convenience of your smartphone. Brilliant.
Right. But with that convenience also, you worry sometimes about security as well. So how secure would the platforms and channels be?
Right.
It's very secure. I mean, we actually apply a bank-grade security level to our infrastructure. We regularly bring in third-party firms to actually attempt to hack us and do all these type of things. So we very much apply a bank-grade standard to the way we do our security.
Actually, speaking of security, with that comes regulations and whatnot. What's the fintech regulations in Myanmar? Is it, and if you could compare it to Singapore, is it easier to run over there?
Yeah, I would say to Melvin's point before, I think Myanmar has got progressively easier over the last few years.
Okay.
There's a very progressive regulation in place, so we were the first license holder under that regulation. It really allows us to do everything that we need to do. We have regular engagement with the central bank in Myanmar. They're very proud, I think, of what Wave Money and some of the other companies are starting to achieve. So I think Myanmar is actually a good place to do these sort of activities. Having said that, I've been blown away by how progressive MAS has been here. I mean, we've just been at the FinTech Festival over the last couple of days, and it's an extraordinary event and bringing, you know, lots of fintechs to Singapore. So I think, you know, Myanmar still has a long way to go, but for the state of where Myanmar is compared to Singapore, I think it's pretty good.
Such an exciting landscape, this fintech. I can't wait to head down there later today.
Well, in the studio today, Brad Jones, who is CEO of Wave Money, as well as Melvin Poon, who is CEO of Yoma Strategic Holdings, joining us for our conversation. What are your plans for the company? We'll hear from both of you, both from Melvin for Yoma, as well as Brad for Wave Money. We'll start with Melvin.
So for Yoma, our bet is that the Myanmar will grow, and I'm very certain of that. And we want to focus on the domestic consumer and serving their needs. We're dividing our business into four main businesses. So it's really real estate development under Yoma Land. We have a consumer business under Yoma F&B. We have a financial services business, which is Wave, as well as our leasing business. And then we have a automotive business, Yoma Motors. Those four are the big bets that we're making. If you look at all of them, they are targeted at the domestic consumer. And we're seeing very high growth. Actually, real estate has been a bit slower, but the other businesses have all been growing 30 to 40% every single year for the last 4 or 5 years. So I think that's quite good. Real estate seems to have been slow in the last 2 years, but in the last three quarters, we've seen a bottoming and actually a progressive growth that is coming through. In particular, we're starting to focus on affordable housing, which is, I think, a massive area that if we can crack, that will provide us, you know, a real important role in the country. So across everything, I think, I'm very bullish. I think in some ways, the external negative headwinds have actually, the pendulum has swung the other way too far, that people are too skeptical of Myanmar. And when I'm on the ground, I see actually the growth is there. Mm-hmm. The government is more and more keen to make sure that there is growth. We're heading into election in a couple of years' time. And I think we're at a stage where the government is starting to figure out how things work. And the next 2 years will be very good.
Brad, what about Wave Money? What's next?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there are two things we're looking to do. Firstly, we're going to continue to grow the money transfer business. So, and as I said earlier, I mean, we're seeing 26% volume growth month on month, and that's been going now for 2 years. So it's been extraordinary, actually, how much that's grown. We still see a lot of upside in that. So we very much want to push that that side of the business. The other thing we're doing is as the digital literacy is starting to grow, we're really starting to push more into digital products.
Okay.
So this is pushing more through the hand phone and really starting to build products that customers are going to be able to use and really make Wave the center of their digital financial life.
We've been talking about fintech and property in Myanmar. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for coming by the studios. Melvin Poon, CEO of Yoma Strategic Holdings, and Brad Jones, CEO of Wave Money.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.